भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 11, entitled Summary Description of the Mahapurush, Text Number 17. मंडलं देवायजनम् दीक्षा संस्कार आत्मनः परिचर्या भगवत् आत्मनो दुरिताक्षया मंडलम् द सन ग्लोब देवायजनम् द प्लेस वेयर द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड इज वर्शिप्ड Diksha, spiritual initiation. Samskara, the process of purification. Atmanaha, for the spirit soul. Paricharya, devotional service. Bhagavata, of the personality of Godhead. Atmanaha, for the jiva soul. Durita. Of sinful reactions. Shayaha, the destruction. Translation by the servants of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The sun globe is the place where the Supreme Lord is worshipped. Spiritual initiation is the means of purification for the spirit soul. And rendering devotional service to the personality of Godhead is the process of for eradicating all one's sinful reactions. Translation responsively. The sun globe is the place where the Supreme Lord is worshipped. Spiritual initiation is the means of purification
for the spirit soul
and rendering devotional service to the personality of Godhead is the process for eradicating all one's sinful reactions. Purport. One should meditate on the fiery sun globe as a place where God is worshipped. Lord Krishna is the reservoir of all effulgence, and thus it is fitting that he be properly worshipped on the glowing sun. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshurunamitamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Galadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare So in this verse few things are being mentioned, and one of them is the process of spiritual initiation as a means of purification for the spirit soul, and devotional service as a process for eradicating all of one's sinful reactions. So here when it is being spoken about that spiritual initiation is the means of the purification of the spirit soul, that means if it has to be purified, then at the present moment it is contaminated. Otherwise there is no point of talking about purification. So when we are talking about purification, it means something needs to be purified, something is contaminated. So what is that contamination? So originally the spirit soul is pure in nature. So we all have this pure love of God within us. So originally we were situated in the spiritual world in our original relationship with Krishna. So whatever that was. But due to this propensity of because of envying Krishna, we envied against Krishna, therefore Krishna had to facilitate this material creation, and then we come in touch with the modes of material nature, or we come in touch with matter. And coming in touch with matter means becoming contaminated. So somebody becomes contaminated when they are weak. It's like we acquire a disease when we acquire a contamination when our immune system is not strong. So because we are marginal in nature, therefore we are prone to contamination. So because we are spirit soul, qualitatively one with Krishna, but quantitatively we are very minute. Therefore, we are prone to be influenced by either of Krishna's energies, either the spiritual energy or the material energy. So, but when we develop this envious nature or this rebellious nature against Krishna, then immediately we are swayed away by the material energy. And then when the spirit soul, though the spirit soul is actually pure in nature, but by the medium of false ego it comes in contact with matter and therefore is considered to be contaminated. So this entire process of devotional service is a means of purification of the spirit soul. So there is that verse, Om Apavitra Pavitrova Sarvavastam Gatopiva Yasmare Pondrikaksham Sabaya Vayantra Suchi. So whether one is pure or impure or having passed through all the stages of material life, if one simply remembers the lotus eyed Krishna, one will be cleansed, pure, one will be cleansed internally and externally. So the whole purpose of life is to become pure. The whole purpose in rendering devotional service is to become purified. And the whole purpose in taking initiation is to become purified. So that's the whole purpose of the human form of life. So that's the contamination. And initiation is a means of becoming purified. So we see that the word initiation, if we look at the meaning of the word initiation, it means it's a process of, to begin a process. That's what it means, initiate. To initiate means to start something, to begin. So initiation is not the end, it's just the beginning. So initiation means to begin. So in order to take initiation, one needs the right attitude. So why will one take initiation? So because the tendency of the conditioned spirit soul is rebellious in nature. That the reason the spirit soul is in the material world is because the spirit soul wants to be, the conditioned spirit soul wants to be independent of Krishna. So the conditioned spirit soul has this mentality of thinking oneself to be independent of Krishna. Therefore we have this mentality of being the supreme enjoyer, the supreme controller and the supreme proprietor. And therefore we are thinking that we can figure out what we need by ourselves. So we don't need any Krishna or someone else to tell us how to figure out things. So we can see that is the attitude in the material world, that everyone is, before we came to spiritual life, everyone was thinking that, or we might still be thinking, but especially before, that I know what I'm doing, I know how to figure out how to get happiness, no one needs to tell me, I'm smart enough, I have so many abilities, I have so many qualities, and I'm financially very independent. In other words, we are actually proud of our abilities and we are thinking that we can figure out ways for fulfilling ourselves independent of any authority, or independent of Krishna. So, till we have this proud mentality that we can actually be satisfied without Krishna in the process of devotional service, that is this rebellious nature. So till we come to the point of initiation, it is described that we have to have the attitude like Arjuna. So as Arjuna says, Karpanya Doshapata Subhava Prichami Tvam Dharma Samudha Chetaha. What's the third line? Sorry? Yet Shreya Nishitam Bruhi Tanme Shishyasteham Sadhi Mam Tvam Prapannam. That as Arjuna is saying that now I'm actually confused about my duty, and because of miserly weakness I do not know what to do. So I'm a soul who is confused, so you please instruct me. So this is the position one, this is the attitude one should have before one feels the need for initiation. In other words, one has to be humble before material nature. So the whole function of the material energy, which is controlled by Durga Devi, is actually to frustrate our desires. So we are actually desiring to be independent of Krishna, that we can actually figure out how our happiness, we don't need anyone else there, and we are thinking we are actually fully in control. But actually in reality, it's the opposite. We are actually conditioned by the laws of nature. We are actually forced to take births. We didn't choose which kind of family will take birth in, or which country will take birth in. Diseases are inflicted upon us. Old age is being inflicted upon us. Actually, old age is... One devotee was mentioning to me that old age is such a thing that old age strips away everything of you. So, you know, we like to eat, so then we are actually forced. We can't eat what we like to eat. So, actually everything is stripped, our bodily faculties are stripped away from us. So our body is actually the means of our enjoyment, and that very body is stripped away from us. And then, at the end, death is inflicted upon us. And then there are the threefold miseries. Miseries caused by our own body and mind, by the laws of nature, and by other living entities. But still, in spite of all this, the conditioned soul is thinking that he can actually find happiness, and he is in control. So till one develops this attitude that we are actually helpless, and we are actually in the hands of material, we are actually like a plaything in the hands of material nature. So unless one develops that attitude, and no matter what we do, we cannot actually change things, either by through economic development or through our abilities. And as Arjun mentioned in the next verse, even by having a kingdom even greater than the demigods, I cannot be happy and I cannot drive away this grief. So we are thinking that our family can protect us, or we can protect our family. So we are thinking ourselves to be in control, but in actuality we are not at all in control. So when one actually realizes this, that we are helpless in the hands of material nature, then one is actually ready to take to make a solution. And Arjuna is in that kind of situation where he actually realizes that he is helpless and he needs help. So we see maybe for many of us, when we started our spiritual life, we were at that kind of crisis. We were totally frustrated with our life, you know, we don't know what's going on. We have tried all kinds of enjoyment and we are not happy. And we have made so much money, but still we are not happy. So then we become humbled by material nature, and then we look for solutions or alternatives. So it is described that one should have that kind of an attitude when one wants to make a solution. So initiation just means basically, it is the beginning. So in different schools, there is initiation. Even I remember when I was applying for graduate positions, there also you get a kind of an initiation. You have a mentor. So you take initiation from a mentor, and then that mentor will guide you in your advancement in that corporation. So that mentor will explain to you that, or even one organization is so diverse. So they explain you how the organization works, and they actually keep reviewing you and seeing how you are actually making progress and contributing to the goals of that organization. So similarly, for any kind of situation, we actually need a mentor or a guide. So similarly, to make advancement in spiritual life, we actually need some help. So to think that, you know, we can figure out spiritual life by ourselves, you know, that is again a sign of pride. So many people these days, they think that, yeah, you know, I'm a spiritual person, and I can figure out my own way. You don't need to tell me what to do. I make my own spiritual process. I don't need to read any books. Spirituality is all within us. So therefore, I take from different processes, different religions. I take what I like. I manufacture my own kind of process. So that is again a sign of pride. Or maybe one can think that I can study these books by myself. I don't actually need a spiritual guide. So then again, that is a sign of pride. So you see, sometimes, people, or they think simply by their intellectual abilities, they'll be able to purify themselves and they'll be able to understand the absolute truth. But we see that Krishna is independent. So as Krishna says, one can only know me by the process of devotional service. Bhakti mam abhijanati yavanyas. So by rendering devotional service, one can understand Krishna. So we see that the process of devotional service is actually the means of purification of the spirit soul. So the other processes like karma, gyan, and yoga, they cannot actually purify the spirit soul. So, but we see by the process of bhakti yoga, it actually purifies us to the core of the heart. And as it's being described in this verse, that devotional service to the personality of Godhead is the process for eradicating all one's sinful reactions. So by the other processes, the sinful reactions might be, we can maybe get rid of the sinful reaction, but we cannot get rid of the desire to perform sinful activities. But by performing devotional service, it actually even gets rid of that desire. And as Nectar of Devotion describes how the chain of sinful activities works, is that because of ignorance of our true identity with Krishna, we have all these desires. And when we act on those desires, they produce reactions, and again it produces an unmanifest reaction, and then which produces a proclivity for sinful activity. And in this way, so this vicious cycle is continuing. But by the process of devotional service, one can actually not only can one destroy one's sinful reactions, but one can even destroy one's unmanifested sinful reactions. And also at the same time, destroy the desire to perform sinful activities, and also destroy the ignorance which is causing all the problems in the first place. So we see devotional service addresses the problem at different kind of levels, at all the levels, and ultimately attacking the root. But as Krishna says, that Krishna system is that even in order to perform the process of bhakti, one actually needs to approach a devotee of Krishna. So, in other words, one has to take shelter of, as described in the Nectar of Devotion, in the 6th or 7th chapter, the principles in discharging devotional service. So there are the 10 primary principles, the total 20 which are very important. Out of those, the first 3 are the most important. So the first one is to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. And then the second one is to take initiation from the spiritual master. And then the third process is to follow the orders of the spiritual master. So we see that is actually the very beginning of devotional service. So initially we have some faith and we come in the association of devotees. And by being in the association of devotees, our faith actually grows, because we are in the association of devotees, we hear about Krishna. So as we begin to hear about Krishna, that faith begins to mature. And as it says, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadipaya Bhakti Lata Beej. So this Guru Krishna Prasad. So to one who is actually serious in making a solution to the problems of life, or one who is serious in making advancement in Krishna consciousness, so then Krishna gives this Guru Krishna Prasad. So Prasad just doesn't mean in terms of food or what we eat. Prasad is mercy of the Lord. It can be manifest in various ways. So one of the ways is when Krishna sees that we are actually serious, a person is actually serious in making advancement in devotional service, so then Krishna gives his mercy in the form of a bona fide spiritual master. Because a bona fide spiritual master is actually a representative of Krishna. As Krishna says, he's like my very self. So we see that Krishna helps the living entities in two ways. As Krishna is the Paramatma, he is within our heart and he is the Chaitya Guru. So he's instructing us from within how to make advancement. But also at the same time, the external manifestation of Krishna is the spiritual master. So therefore, to associate the spiritual master is, as I was reading in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, is as good as associating with Krishna. And as described in the Nectar Devotion, that Krishna Anushilanam, Anukulyana Krishna Anushilanam, that the means of purification is rendering devotional service to Krishna. But then, how do we render that devotional service to Krishna? So, one has to execute activities which are aimed at Krishna. That is devotional service. But how do we know Krishna's desires? So Krishna Anushilanam. So we actually have to follow the predecessors or the previous acharyas through a spiritual master. That's how we actually know what the desires of the Lord are. Otherwise we'll be simply speculating what devotional service is. Therefore that's the importance of having a spiritual master. So it is said, unless one has a spiritual master, we can make only progress to a certain degree, but if we want to go the full distance, we actually have to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, and in that way we will actually know what the desires of the Lord are. Otherwise we cannot truly understand the desires of the Supreme Lord. So therefore, so the first is taking shelter of a spiritual master. So in ISKCON we have, when one becomes interested, one gives the shelter exam and one waits for a certain amount of time. And then it is said that the disciple should examine the spiritual master, and the spiritual master also examines the disciple. So they both examine each other. And when the spiritual master sees that the disciple is fit for initiation, that the disciple is actually serious about following the regulative principles, and then the spiritual master gives one initiation. But initiation is not the end. Initiation is only the beginning. So sometimes there is a misconception that, okay, now I've taken initiation and therefore it's all good. You know, it's all, I don't have to do anything. But that is simply the beginning. Or initiation is not meant to be taken out of fashion. So initiation, we don't take initiation because everyone is taking, so I should also take, therefore it's a cool thing. I will also have a Sanskrit name, I will have a spiritual name, and I will have, devotees will take me, now at least devotees will finally begin to take me seriously. You know, unless I'm wearing a thread or I have a name, I'm just a bhakta and you know, no one takes me seriously. So that's what initiation is not meant for. So it is said, initiation is when we actually desire true happiness, and we want to understand our relationship with Krishna. So therefore, then we have to take initiation. So, and when one takes initiation, then we have to sincerely follow the orders of the spiritual master. So then that is the test of the disciple. Because out of false ego, we want to do what we like to do. That's the nature of the conditioned soul, that we try to be independent of Krishna. But our austerity is actually to subject ourselves to the desires of the spiritual master. And the spiritual master will only instruct if he sees that he or she is actually serious in following the desires. Because sometimes they won't instruct if you won't follow the desires, because then that is committing the third offense, to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. So the spiritual master, it is a very tricky position. I was hearing a lecture by His Holiness Devamrita Swami. He was saying it's actually a very tricky position to be a guru. So disciples are at different levels of advancement. So some are very serious in following the instructions. Others were serious, but at the moment they don't want to follow. They are a bit rebellious. So it's a bit tricky. If you instruct them, they'll break the instruction anyway. So you're saying it's a very, very tricky position, and the spiritual master has to be very mature and able to guide the disciple. So we see that this process of initiation is actually the means of purification of the spirit soul. And this is very, very important, to the extent that Krishna himself sets this example. We see Krishna, when as a brahmachari, he took initiation from Sandipani Muni, Krishna and Balaram, and they actually carried out menial services. And even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took initiation from Ishwarapuri. And in this way we see that the Lord himself sets the example of taking shelter of a bona fide devotee. Because unless we take shelter of a bona fide devotee, we cannot actually understand what the Lord wants of us and how to execute devotional service. And so we need to be trained from a spiritual master. Some people say, Prabhupada is my spiritual master. I don't need any other spiritual master in between. So that is like Ritvikism. So it doesn't say anywhere in the Shastra that it says that one has to take initiation from a spiritual master, who is alive, and you actually learn the process of devotional service. And when one takes initiation from a spiritual master, one should actually have this desire to serve the spiritual master. So that service is of two types. One is personal service, rendering personal service to the spiritual master, and the other is to serve the instructions of the spiritual master. So till the Vani and Bapu. Yeah, thank you. So Vani and Bapu. One is Bapu, the form of the spiritual master, and the other is the Vani. So the form of the spiritual master will be present on the planet for a certain amount of time. And especially as being in ISKCON, our spiritual masters are travelling all the time. So maybe we get to see them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times a year. And when we get that opportunity, we should actually be very enthusiastic to serve the form of the spiritual master. And when the spiritual master is not around, or even while the spiritual master is around, we should actually serve the instructions of the spiritual master also. Actually, that is higher than serving the form of the spiritual master. As once Srila Prabhupada said, all his disciples wanted to be around him. And he said, even the fly is around me, what's the big deal? Even the house fly is around me. So in other words, he's putting things in perspective. That of the two, serving the instructions of the spiritual master is higher. And by serving the instructions of the spiritual master, one is actually associating with the spiritual master. So this is beyond material logic and intelligence. How by serving somebody's instructions, you're actually close to them. So this is the mysticism of bhakti, in which when we serve the instructions of the guru, we actually become close to the guru. So not everyone will be able to get that opportunity in which they can. There were only few servants of Srila Prabhupada who were around Srila Prabhupada all the time. But I can say for my spiritual master, he was only able to get Prabhupada's darshan 3 or 4 times. And even in those 3 or 4 times, there were very short conversations. But because by taking the instructions of the spiritual master so seriously, Lord Prabhupada, he's so close to Prabhupada. And we can see so many other spiritual masters in our movement who who didn't have much association with Prabhupada, but they are actually carrying out the instructions of Prabhupada, and therefore they are very dear to Prabhupada. So simply to think that if we are around a guru all the time, we are advanced, that is a misconception. So the real test is to follow the instruction, and especially when the spiritual master is not around. So it's 8:30. I'll stop here and see if there's any questions or comments. Yes, we will. Same thing, yeah. Yeah, that's the real test of the disciples, that if they'll be able to cooperate with each other to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. So Prabhupada said, your love for me will be shown by how much you cooperate with each other once I leave. So yeah, so we have to put, it's an austerity to put aside our own desires and motivations and actually to get together and serve as a family. Anything else? Yes, Prabhu.
Do you know why the Sangha specifically is mentioned as a place of worship? How that means Krishna is famous throughout the three worlds.
Okay, I'll read you the purport. Yes. It says, answer is given there. One should meditate on the fiery sun globe as a place where God is worshipped. Lord Krishna is the reservoir of all effulgence, and thus it is fitting that he be properly worshipped on the glowing sun. So my understanding is fitting that he be properly worshipped on the glowing sun. So your question is, why is Krishna to be worshipped on the sun planet? Is that your question? Because the sun is the chief of all planets, so it's very effulgent. So Krishna has to be worshipped on the best place. That's my understanding. Maybe someone else can give a better technical answer. Yes, Hari Namananda Prabhu. You have a question?
Yeah, question. With our spiritual master being away,
yeah.
In terms of keeping in contact through email, most of it's email. So it's not like you dump your problems on your spiritual master. What should you say when you contact your spiritual master?
Okay. The best is, when we contact the spiritual master, we ask him how we can serve him nicely, what he wants. But because we are in the material world and we are conditioned, we have so many problems. So, you know, we have to take guidance from a spiritual master. We have to, actually, the disciple should reveal his or her heart to the spiritual master. That doesn't mean for every small problem, you know, you shoot off an email to your guru who's on the other side of the planet. So we have to also learn how to take guidance from our local devotees, from devotees who are around us, because that's the whole idea of living in a community, that we live in a community so that we get the association and guidance from other Vaishnavas. Because, you know, we can easily find more senior Vaishnavas than us in this community. If we can't find, then there's something wrong with us. So, and there's so many devotees coming. But at the same time, for every major decision in life, one should actually contact one's spirit. One should actually reveal one's heart to one's spiritual master and take guidance, at least for the major things. And then for the, you know, small things, we can take guidance. Maybe how to execute that for the details. Sometimes, you know, the spiritual master might give you details on the instruction, how to execute it. Sometimes he might not. So you have to apply your intelligence and take guidance from other Vaishnavas around you. Yeah, that's what I would say. Yes, Ivan.
Can you tell us more about the process of choosing spiritual master? You mentioned that this is like a two-side process when the devotee like tests the bona fide spiritual master and the master tests the devotee.
Mm-hmm.
So could you tell maybe your own experience? And then the question is, there are lots of well-known spiritual masters already in ISKCON, right? So obviously they are all bona fide, or at least should be. So why?
I hope so. Yeah.
Yeah. Why the process of choosing? Why can't I just you know, choose a random one?
But still, you're choosing.
Yeah. So what's the point of this process? Yeah, of criteria, because we know that there are well-known masters. So why
can't they choose you?
No, why should you be choosing? Why can you just pick up like just one? So can you just
okay. Yeah. So the practicalities of the process, you want to know how it works.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the way Srila Prabhupada set it up in ISKCON is, when Prabhupada was here, when Srila Prabhupada was on the planet, there were also other spiritual masters, but most devotees were taking initiation from Srila Prabhupada. And after Srila Prabhupada, when he went back to spiritual world, so he set up this system in which he originally set up 11 acharyas, and the whole world was divided into different zones, and different zones were assigned to different gurus. So this is back in the 80s. So if you happen to be in a particular zone, you take initiation from one particular spiritual master who's assigned that zone. But then over a period of time, the GVC has changed that, and now we can actually take initiation from any of the 70, 80 spiritual masters within ISKCON who are authorized. Yeah. Yeah. So if we actually understand the teachings, the absolute truth is one, the path to the absolute truth is one, and the guru is also one. So guru is also one, meaning that the process of devotional service and the instructions are the same. So the same instructions are coming from different spiritual masters, but the instruction is, you know, it's primarily the same. So therefore, so why there are so many spiritual masters, and why do we choose? Because every one of us is an individual, and so it is said that one should choose a spiritual master to whom one can actually be very comfortable in revealing one's mind and be able to have a relationship. So the whole idea is that you reveal your mind to your spiritual master, and the spiritual master should be able to guide you. So therefore, you choose the one with which you are the most comfortable. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So, what was your experience? Was it just accidentally you could establish a relationship, or
Okay, so because we are living in Melbourne, not all the 80 spiritual masters come here. So we get, many come here. But so you have a choice in... So my personal experience was, I was observing all the spiritual masters who were coming here, and I was associating with them by trying to serve them, serve their form, and hearing the classes, getting lectures from other devotees who were their disciples. So I then after hearing all of them, it is said that Krishna actually inspires you from within to choose a spiritual master. So that inspiration will come from Krishna, and Krishna will tell you, maybe, you know, this one is the best for you. And you can also see for yourself that who you are able to, you know, relate to the most and very comfortable in associating with. Though essentially they're giving all the same instruction. There's no difference. So therefore one should choose, you could do that, the first spiritual master who walks in the temple when you're a devotee, you take initiation. That spiritual master might be the perfect one for you. But it's best to observe and see and take one's time. And at the same time, the spiritual master is also examining us. Are we actually fit to follow? So initiation means taking a vow of a lifetime of purification. So taking a vow that we will not perform. So when we start the process of initiation, so we take these vows: no meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication. So in other words, we are actually trying not to contaminate ourselves any further. So it's like if when you're trying to light a fire and you pour water on it, the fire will extinguish. So by practicing the process of devotional service, we are actually kindling the fire of our devotion. But if we commit these sinful activities, then it's like throwing water. So it won't be very effective. So therefore, we take these vows of purification and try to, we have to uphold them our whole life. Yes, so.
One point you mentioned before, that there's different levels of elevation of devotees.
Yeah.
The gurus are also devotees, and there are different levels as well.
Yes.
Of advancement. So this
yes.
might be a reason why you might choose a more advanced devotee if you feel as a guru that you feel is more advanced, or you might do it for personal reasons. You know, that personally you might find his personality more suitable to your personality.
Hmm.
For some, you know, they're a bit more standoffish, a bit more.
It is said that there are three kinds of Vaishnavas. There's the Kanishtha Adhikari, Madhyam, and Uttama. So, a Kanishtha Adhikari is one. So, one who chants the holy name. So, this person might even be initiated, might even be second initiated. They might even be performing devotional service or deity worship. But if they are attached to, you know, either sinful activities or who cannot basically discriminate between the four types of a madhyam is one who can, who knows who the Lord is, who the devotees of the Lord is, who knows how to take association from them, who knows how to, who is envious and therefore to avoid them, and what's the fourth one? Sorry. And how to help the innocent. Thank you. So a Kanishtha Adhikari is one who doesn't have much faith and knowledge in the scripture, and at the same time, but even though they might be initiated, but they cannot discriminate between these four things. So then a Madhyam is one, a Madhyam Adhikari might, or is one who maybe even has just started the process of devotional service, but they are sincerely trying to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. It is said that to such a devotee one should offer one's obeisances, who is sincerely, wholeheartedly trying to apply the process of devotional service. And then Uttamadhikari is one who is doing all of that, but at the same time he is always thinking of how to expand the Krishna consciousness movement. To such a person one should actually serve them and take guidance from them. In other words, take initiation. So you have to find the highest level of devotee, and in ISKCON all the spiritual masters are very advanced, so we just have to choose one of them. Okay. You want to know in detail? Kutam Bijam. Okay, so the reason we are suffering is because of sinful reactions to our sinful activities. So the fact that we have this body is the proof that we have performed sinful activities. So in other words, this is the manifestation of our sinful activities, this very body. So when we look in the mirror, a certain kind of body, it is due to certain kind of activities. So, and the certain kind of, so we could be getting so many other reactions in terms of so many problems. But then, so there is prarabdha and there is aprarabdha karma. So aprarabdha is the stock of sinful reactions which are not yet manifest. And then kutam, sorry, okay, bijam. Bijam is this desire to perform sinful activities. So you have this whole chain going on. We have this desire to perform sinful activities, and then we perform the activity. So then you get a reaction, and then at the same time, there's an unmanifest reaction. And then that unmanifest reaction gives rise to proclivity to perform sinful activity. That proclivity gives rise to the desire, and this way the chain is going on. So, and then on top of that is ignorance. Because of ignorance of our identity, all this is taking place. So by performing devotional service, you're destroying all of that.
You can dissolve your subtle body.
Yeah, in other words, you can dissolve your subtle body. So when your subtle body dissolves, you vanish. No. Yes. Yes. What does it mean?
Yeah.
Proclivity means
tendency.
Yeah, tendency or inclination to do. Yeah. So it's like when we, for example, the example given in Nectar Devotion is of sex life. When somebody engages in illicit sex, so they get a reaction in the form of suffering, in the form of, you know, there might be emotional suffering or even physical suffering. You know, this is all pretty well documented, it's all there, how physically and emotionally we suffer. And then but at the same time, it's not only that, we suffer because then we develop this proclivity or inclination to again indulge in illicit sex. So when we perform a sinful activity, not only do we get a reaction, but we also develop this tendency, proclivity. Then we want to do more, and then we do more, then again that there's more proclivity too. So then again we do, and then the desire increases. In this way, this is a very vicious cycle in which we are trapped. But we can see how practically, but when we start performing devotional service, even this proclivity goes away, and even the desire goes away. So devotional service is actually very, very powerful. So we should not underestimate the potency of devotional service. Anything else? Okay. Krantraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.